Frederick, I just want to let everybody know, I know I've introduced you before, but for those people on the call who are not that familiar with you, let me just give you a quick introduction. Dr. Shroyans is the editor of Synthesis, but he's really much more than that. He's also a very gifted homeopathic practitioner and teacher. He's pretty much one of the individuals who's responsible and instrumental for the development of homeopathy in Belgium. He was responsible for the establishment of the very first university there. He's taught a tremendous amount of homeopathy classes in Belgium and internationally around the world. He's considered to be one of our most gifted practitioners and educators. And for those of you who don't know, he's going to actually be coming to the United States on November 10th and 11th. He's going to be in the San Diego area, specifically in Carlsbad, and he'll be there for the weekend of November 10th and 11th. The name of the seminar will be called,
Put the language of the patient as
the
title.
Language of the patient, thank you. And for those of you who haven't had an opportunity to see Frederick in person, I cannot recommend this highly enough. He did a couple of seminars last year in the Pacific Northwest. He was in Portland. He was in Seattle. He did a seminar in Monterey for the veterinary conference, and these conferences were incredibly well received. And I think the feedback that I got more than anything else, aside from the fact that Frederick is very dynamic, very entertaining, extremely knowledgeable, I think what I got more from more than anybody was that Frederick has the ability to really make difficult issues in homeopathic practice easy to understand and make them possible to implement them in practice very easily. So people felt that it was very, very practical, and they could walk away from that weekend with a much greater understanding of how to apply the repertory to really achieve really good success in practice. So, Frederick, thank you again for coming to join us. I hope everyone will take the opportunity who can to come down there at the beginning of November and see you live.
Yeah, nice introduction, Kim. Thank you.
Of course. So, Frederick, let me go ahead and get started. I know you wanted to discuss the reliability of the repertory, and I know this is an issue for a lot of people these days.
Yes.
So I'm curious, is there actually an issue of reliability with the repertory?
Yes. And, of course, everybody knows the repertory, but as a start, I would like to define reliability. And if we just go by the meaning of the dictionary, to rely upon, it means to have confidence or to trust something, to trust. But the specific idea of reliability is that there is an expectation which then should be fulfilled. Like a reliable car is, I expect it to drive, and then it drives, it's a reliable car, you see? And if we translate it into homeopathic terms, the idea is, I see this remedy in this rubric, I expect it to work for this patient, and if it works, it's a reliable remedy. And then as a whole, it's a reliable repertory, of course. And this issue of reliability, in fact, has been there in the homeopathic history all along, but more recently it has come up more vigorously in debates whether, in fact, the repertory or synthesis or, let's say synthesis, is reliable or not, or sufficiently reliable, etc. And so I think it's very interesting to reflect on this precise issue, but also to broaden it a little bit and to understand what we are as a profession, how we use information which has a certain degree of reliability. And so if I say, yes, there is an issue of reliability with the repertory, then my next phrase should be that this issue of reliability is in fact present with the other homeopathic literature as well, with the other homeopathic information, in fact, as well. And so why then has the repertory got this privileged place to be like most often quoted, whether it is reliable or not? Well, there's a number of reasons for that. First of all, we should be aware that the repertory is a secondary source, which means it is basically a smart index of information available around. So take, there is a proving. And then the repertory is indexed in the proving. The proving is the primary information, and it becomes like a relatively easy job to verify whether the repertory is in a reliable way referring to that information. You got the point?
Eh? Sure, sure.
And so people then say, it was a headache at the right temple, for example, and in the proving is written, it was the left temple. So then the repertory doesn't offer reliable information. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, then we have to correct it. It is clear. But the point I want to make is that people, because of this, because of the existence of a primary source, they are easily capable of verifying whether the repertory is correctly transposing the information, converting the information of the primary source.
Hmm.
But the thing people are not capable of doing easily is to verify the reliability of the primary source.
Hmm.
And that is, if we broaden up the topic, this is the first thing I would like to bring up. I'll give you an example.
So primary source is really referring to provings. Is that correct, Frederick?
Well, I would first like to speak about the case.
Eh? Okay, sure.
And we know hundreds and even thousands of cases have been published. Now, you all have been reading these cases, and I'm sure that sometimes you felt that this case was not really a case of remedy X. Eh? You say, well, I'm not sure that this was the remedy, because to me it looks so clearly a case of natrum sulfuricum, whatever. Eh? Or I feel this case is not really a reliable case, because when I look at the follow-up, I see this and this is happening, but there is no change mentioned on this and this level.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, there are very few articles about reliability of cases.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The same we can say about the provings. Someone makes a proving, and we add it to the repertory. So the easy check about reliability is, does the repertory correctly report about the proving? But the more difficult check is, well, did the provers really bring out these symptoms? Or did the proving director verify whether there was a coincidence of certain circumstances or other factors which had an influence? Or was it just wrongly expressed by the proving person, etc., etc.? So, in fact, if we question the topic of reliability, I'm very happy to discuss the repertory. The reliability of the repertory, but we should understand that the problem, if I may say, of reliability is in fact for the totality of the homeopathic information. That's the first point I want to make. Now, the second point, why the reliability of the repertory is a very apparent issue, is that the repertory, and especially synthesis, is being used by so many people. Okay? We're speaking not about thousands, but about tens of thousands of people. And as you may know, we have the book available in 10 different languages, the synthesis available in 10 different languages. So it just multiplies the number of people using it.
Hmm.
And so if we compare that to, say, one proving made in Nevada, whatever, by a person, and even it's published in a journal, even take links with a few thousands of subscribers, you understand that the exposure of this information is much less than the exposure of the repertory information.
Sure.
And so the fact, the sheer fact that smart people are using the repertory continuously, this increases the chances that the people speak about the reliability of the repertory.
Mm.
Do you understand this?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's normal. In a way, it's normal that, almost if one can express it like this, that the repertory is the first source which is being criticized.
Mm.
And it is an advantage. I will, in the conclusion, I will tell you why this is exactly an advantage.
Mm.
And then the third reason why the repertory has the privilege of being most often quoted when we speak about reliability, this is the next one. It is that, especially in synthesis, we have been advocating a policy of transparency, which means that as much as possible, we have indicated our sources with precision. I'll give you one example. you know Clark, John Henry Clark.
Mm-hmm.
In our work, the different sources of Clark have been specified separately.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't say this comes from Clark, because at that time you would need to scan through some 30 different books and then to verify whether this information in the repository is reliable or not becomes a very tough job.
Mm.
However, when this remedy is supposed to come from this book of Clark, this precise little book of Clark, you go there, you check it, and you agree or you disagree, and consequently, you can send us an email and tell us, listen, this information is not correct because in the book I find such and such, and then we can verify it and correct it.
Mm.
So the precision with which we have been doing the work, and more precisely, the transparency with which we have been doing the work, again, seems like a vulnerability, but it turns into an advantage if we really understand the role of the repertory in the whole shifting of reliability of the homeopathic information.
You know, I know for me, Frederick, it's been wonderful to have all those...
Yes, there is an issue, and why it is even more of an issue with the repertory than with the other homeopathic literature.
Mm. Yeah, I know for me, Frederick, it's been wonderful having all those specific references, and it makes it so much easier to find what you're looking for.
Yes, that's the fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
Frederick, the synthesis team, what are they specifically doing to address this issue of reliability? How are you guys doing it?
Yes. Well, to reply to that, I would like to take you back to the beginning of homeopathy. And when we speak about repertory, you are aware we speak about Bönninghausen.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't imagine, but Bönninghausen, when he was creating his first repertory, he immediately addressed the issue of reliability. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
And
so this
his
is
idea
back in
was,
the 1830s, basically.
Excuse me?
This is back in the 1830s.
Oh, yeah.
Long time ago.
In the 1832, to be precise.
Yeah.
And what he said is, okay, we put a number of remedies in a rubric, but I would like to indicate how reliable they are. We got to the issue, straight to the issue. And his idea was, we will indicate degrees to the remedies. So if a remedy has a certain degree, we can indicate that it is more or less reliable.
Mm.
And so the whole degree system of Bönninghausen basically is based on reliability.
Mm.
Now, on that issue, this is only the beginning of the development of my thinking, of course, I would like to point out first some very interesting stuff. And that is that this initial idea of Bönninghausen has been widely misunderstood.
Mm.
And I can give you a number of examples. I'll give you maybe two or three.
Okay.
So first of all, some people say Bönninghausen indicated three levels of reliability, or can we call it 3 degrees?
Mm.
Some people say he indicated 4 degrees, and still other people say he indicated 5 degrees. Can you believe it? So we have all this difference of opinion there. Hmm? In fact, the reply is Bönninghausen has indicated 5 different levels of reliability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another example is, and I quote Roberts, who has written a book about the Bönninghausen, when he says the highest degree. So the highest degree means the degree with the highest reliability. He says, okay, then disappears in practically every proving. That's it. This is what Roberts says.
Okay.
When we read another book by Desai about Bönninghausen, then he says the highest degree of Bönninghausen is most of the provers have it, and then it has been repeatedly confirmed in the clinic.
Mm.
So they seem to agree that the highest degree is present in about all the provings, but they don't agree about the fact whether it has to be confirmed in the clinic.
Mm.
You see? So it is important to go back to the sources, which in this case is the so-called systematic alphabetic repertory, where Bönninghausen described for the first time his degree system. And then we see that his highest degree, which he calls the fourth degree, number four. It is there when it has clearly cured almost every time.
Mm.
So it is a very, very strong clinical confirmation,
mm.
not on the level of the proving,
mm.
Which is very interesting.
Very interesting.
Now, the degree system, the third degree in Bernhausen, it is when the remedy has clearly cured one without doubt, one time. There is no plural. So third degree is one cure, fourth degree is cure almost all the time. It's quite a difference, but okay, we just go by the definitions for the moment. Eh?
And Frederick, let me ask you a question. How accurate do you think this grading scheme is relative to these criteria? I mean, do you think that they really were able to grade
yes.
things correctly?
Yes, in Bernhausen's case, I think it is very accurate, and
mm-hmm.
he has been explaining that a little bit further. Yeah?
Okay.
So I think it's important to understand what he means by the different degrees, because he has been accurate in applying that.
Okay.
So the second degree is this remedy which appears repeatedly in the provings, repeatedly. Okay? He doesn't mention clinical cures for the second degree.
Okay.
And then the first degree is when the remedy has cured a case without doubt. It has cured, but not, let's say, to the spectacular level of the third degree. And
mm.
you remember third degree
yeah,
is
yeah.
also one cured case, but clear-cut, spectacular, let's say.
And it still has to be in the proving?
This is not mentioned.
It's not mentioned, okay.
Yeah. And then we do have these are the fourth degrees, 1, 2, 3, 4. We have a degree, some people call it degree zero. I would like to do that as well, where Bernhausen says, well, this is a cure which is a bit doubtful, so it is hypothetical. And as a consequence, he puts this remedy in his different repertories between brackets.
Hmm.
So this is the fifth level.
Right. Hmm?
Now we see from these definitions of Bernhausen that he says, reliability for me equals clinical confirmation.
Hmm.
Okay, so this is an interesting point of view. The first point of view we had about reliability. How do we get to reliable information? Well, if one person, one person, one person, another person, etc., another country, another continent, homeopath, confirm it clinically. Hmm? And then he says in his introduction, you take special care of my remedies in third and fourth degree, which is the spectacular cure or cure almost every time. Because, he says, I have scanned through my clinical cases, I have included in a very careful way the clinical experiences of Hahnemann and of some other authors living and working at the time. And so he indicates, in fact, that he has made a big point of indicating which were the less reliable and the more reliable remedies. Okay?
Hmm.
Now, why is this interesting? Because most recently you may have heard some people like go back to using the therapeutic pocketbook of Bernhausen.
Sure.
And then they say, well, listen, I use it and it works, it's fantastic. And even if I have only 140 remedies or so, it does work so often and I have so many cases and few symptoms, but I combine them and it works. And for me, the explanation is that he has applied his reliability system with accuracy. And this is maybe not the time to explain the whole Bernhausen method. I guess some of you will be familiar with that to some level.
We can always do another call in the future and go into it.
Yeah, but in the Bernhausen method, which is using, of course, his repertory, Bernhausen does use in a very precise way his grading system to confirm, to differentiate certain remedies. So the grading system, the more reliable, less reliable of his repertory, is a key to prescribing rather this remedy than another one.
Sure.
Okay? So this is the situation, the first situation, which is suggested by Bernhausen. We have different levels. Clinical confirmation is the main thing. This is the summary of his ideas.
Hmm. And And how does the synthesis team use this information, Frederick?
Well, basically, we follow Kent's idea. And you know, of course, in Kent, we do have 3 degrees. The original Kent has 3 degrees.
Yeah.
And I have done some investigations. I will not give you the detail because this will take us too long. But the investigation is such that Kent did know Bernhardshausen's ideas about degrees and reliability.
That's interesting.
Yes, and you read lecture 32, and you will see he's mentioning at several occasions Bernhardshausen's degree system, and in fact, he gives some comments on that. And the main comment, first of all, he says Bernhardshausen mentions 4 degrees,
right,
which is not completely correct because Bernhardshausen has 5 degrees.
Right.
Okay. Then Kent says, second point he says, is that the fourth degree, which is the lowest one for him, Kent used the degrees in the reverse way, the first degree of Kent is the most reliable one,
right,
while now we are used to say is the third degree is the most reliable one, okay?
Right, right.
So I will speak about the least reliable one instead of speaking about first or third degree, which is more confusing. So Kent says about Bernhardshausen, his least reliable degree is not really a degree. It is just the place where he puts the probational remedies. And so I suggest, says Kent, to put those remedies on the same level as the next degree, which means that Kent collapses, do you call this collapses, the lowest and the second lowest degree of Bernhardshausen into 1 degree. And then obviously, as you understand, you get into a system with 3 degrees.
Right, right.
Then the third thing which Kent is doing is that he redefines a little bit the degrees. And you will see it is very similar to Bernhardshausen with some, you could say, when you look at it for first sight, it's some improvements. Because as you were asking him, what about provings and appearance in the provings? Well, in Kent's degrees, the provings are mentioned very clearly. And the highest degree of Bernhardshausen, it was confirmed in almost all the cases. Now, the highest degree of Kent, which is 3 in bold, it says, appears in all the provers, almost all the provers, and almost all the cures. So he puts and there, you see? And for the second degree also, he says a few provers and a few clinical cures. Then the next thing Ken did is that the first degree, he opened it up. He says, we can have a proving system without cure. We can have a proving symptom, with one cure, with a few cures. Or we can have cures without proving symptom. So if you listen to this, it seems that Kent, in his idea, had improved upon the grading system, the degree system of Bernhardshausen, and made it more strict with the end proving end cure, and made it more general, which means addressing more situations.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So now, is this then the final thing? Because we're using Kent and synthesis and many other contemporary repertories, they're all based on the Kentian system and on the Kentian degree system, and they would take those ideas of reliability. Now, can we use these degrees as tokens of reliability, as really useful? As I have been saying in Bernhardshausen's therapeutic pocket book, the reliability of the remedies in the rubric and therefore the degrees, they are really sharp. They are really, the word that I'm looking for? They are meaningful.
Yeah, meaningful. Okay, distinct. Yeah, meaningful.
They are meaningful, yes. Mm-hmm. And the question is, does the same apply in Kent's repertory?
Mm-hmm.
No. The reply, as you know, is no.
Right.
It does not apply. And there's a number of reasons for that. And first of all, this is another thing I have prepared, but I'm going to skip, is that there is a problem in the conversion table. Kent has integrated most of the therapeutic pocketbook into his repertory, not just a chapter of generals, as many people think. He integrated most of it. And he has done that in a consistent way, by which I mean by using a certain degree conversion table. It's very easy. Fourth degree of Bönninghausen becomes his third degree. Third degree of Bönninghausen becomes his second degree. And everything else from Bönninghausen, second, first, and zero degree, become Kent's first degree. Now, this is, of course, nice if we think mathematics, but if you would look at the content, the meaning of the different Bönninghausen degree, they do not match. This conversion table makes no sense. It doesn't match.
Sure.
The second problem, many of you will be aware, is about the presence of the third degree remedies in the repertory of Kent. You're aware of that, Kim?
Sure.
Eh? So if you look at the rubric like teeth caries, you have a number of remedies in third degree. According to Kent's own definition, this would mean that almost all the provers started having caries, and all the patients who took the remedies, up, the caries disappear.
Right.
Sounds like very attractive, you know? But of course, not true. Eh? So this is just one example to say that Kent did not apply or did not have the possibility to apply his own degree system in his repertory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we make a further investigation, and I could go into detail if people like afterwards, we just have to conclude that the degrees in Kent's repertory, and therefore on the Kentian-based repertories, has not any more that strength of the initial therapeutic pocketbook of Bönninghausen, and degrees as a means of knowing the reliability of your remedy and your prescription, it doesn't work anymore.
Frederick, what about synthesis? What is the gradient?
Yes, yes. So this is what I've been saying so far is the state of affairs we had when working with synthesis, okay? And so, as you know, Kim, I like to speak to many people, and when there is an important issue, as this one, what I did is I wrote an email to basically many leading people and teachers all over the globe in 1999. You may have received it as well. And the question in that email was, listen, if you look at the repertory, you look at the rubric, you look at the remedy, please tell me why you have more confidence in certain remedies. Please tell me why you have less confidence in certain remedies. In other words, confidence, reliability is the key issue. And we need not just to speak about the grading system. The grading system is a means, is a tool to get reliability in our prescription. You understand this? Eh?
Sure.
So we must not confine our discussion into finding a new conversion table or setting up 6 degrees instead of 3 degrees or whatever. We must really get back to the bottom and understand what can we do to make our prescriptions reliable. And so I've got a reply from some 75 leading homeopaths from over the world. And with very many different ideas, because the question was quite open. And one of the most striking ideas was that people were saying, when I see a remedy in the repertory, my reflection is, from whom is this addition? And I'm sure you, any one of you has been in seminars or has had this reflection by himself. Who made this addition? Now, wait a minute. This sounds very normal to you. But I want to indicate to you that this is almost like a shift, a paradigm shift in the thinking about reliability. Because Bönninghausen, Hahnemann, Kent, and all these people, when they were speaking about reliability, they were saying, is there a proving? Is there a cure? And that question now, in this age, has become, who made the proving? Who made the cure?
Interesting.
You understand the shift?
That's a very interesting shift.
Very big shift. Yeah? And so we got this idea that, it depends on who made the proving and who made the cure, whether this is considered to have a certain level of reliability or not. And so as a first way to address this way of perception, this perception of reliability, we have introduced the repertory views.
Mm.
So
you
maybe we
explain that a little bit for everybody.
Quickly, repertory views.
Yeah, just give them a little bit of a background so they understand what that is, because I think it's a tremendous technological development.
You say it, Kim.
Okay, well, basically, a number of years ago, Dr. Shorings was having a difficulty dealing with the situation that he wanted to keep a very, very reliable repertorial database, Synthesis 7, but there was a big demand from the homeopathic community to introduce information which many people would consider to be more of a speculative nature, which had not received either a good proving or had not been confirmed in clinical practice, but was based maybe more on a theoretical type of model. And so this was a difficult conundrum for Frederick, because he's always really been committed to having high-quality information in the synthesis, but at the same time, there's this need for this other information. And so Frederick came up with a brilliant idea of developing something called repertory views, which are available in the RADAR software program and allow the end user to select the quantity or quality of information that they want. So, for example, they could say, I want everything, and then they would choose full synthesis, and then they would have everything. They would have Scholten's information, they would have dream provings, they would have meditational provings, they would have it all. Or they might decide that they don't want such a large amount of information. They want to have more reliable data in their repertory. And so they could choose one of the more limited views. I think from full synthesis they could go down to the millennium view, and then they would remove the dream provings and the meditational provings and the non-clinically verified work of Jan Scholten. And then they could even go down from there even to more reliable views where they don't show new provings or only show information up until 1987, or there's actually a whole number of different criteria. But basically the bottom line is that it allows the end user to make the choice of the most important consideration in the development of a repertory, which is the issue of quantity versus quality. And I think that this allows really anybody who's using RADAR to determine for themselves how reliable they want the information that they're repertorizing to be. And also the nice thing is it can be very, very quickly changed in the same repertorization just with one mouse click. So basically that's the background of the tool.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Kim. Very correct. Eh? So the repertory views were introduced, and now you will say, the fact that I can choose which author to consider or not, what has this to do with reliability? Well, I say everything. I say today it has everything to do with that. Eh? Because it is your decision or your school's decision or your teacher decision who is reliable and who is not. And then people, they say, oh, fantastic, the flexibility. Some people say, oh, I'm afraid of this flexibility because I don't know all this and I feel lost, etc., etc. So I want to clarify that when synthesis comes, that it comes with a set number of views which are prepared and have been reflected upon. So someone who doesn't know or someone who doesn't want to take the time to run through all these hundreds of different sources, he can just start working. But if there is a school who says, okay, we want to make our own idea about this source is reliable and this is not reliable, they can do it as well. And so we see that we have now an idea about reliability which is quite different from the degrees. Even if in the end you will see it comes to the same point. Now the second, this the first one is understanding that reliability for many people was linked to certain persons. This is the first one. Now, the second opinion we got, which was also new, is understanding that some of my 75 leading homeopaths replying were saying, well, for me, reliability of information is linked to being able to access the source. Is it just a remedy? It doesn't mean. I need to see the full text. If this is a fear of ghosts, I want to read the full Materia Medica sentence and understand if it's really fear of ghosts or maybe fear of dark. And if someone says, okay, listen, this is a case, I want to know a case from whom and which number, which case, so I can investigate. So people, in other words, they were requesting to have source information. And so this was the second step we took in 2003, in fact, is that we started adding source information to the repertory. Now, we have done that in three ways. First of all, there is a number of rubrics where you click on the remedy's outer abbreviation, and you see the full Materia Medica text.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is that you click on the remedy's outer abbreviation, and you see where does it come from which other repertory, because this was done for the first time when we integrated the different Berger and Bernhardshausen repertories into Synthesis.
Mm.
So you see the exact way that it was written in those repertories.
Mm.
And then a third way is that you ask more information for a certain remedy, you see which homeopath has done it and which case he has been, which case was the basis for his addition.
Mm.
And so possibly you can contact this person and say, listen, I'm interested in this case of yours. Can you send me a summary or explain me how the patient expressed whatever symptom, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this source information is in a way a little bit hidden, and I want to highlight it because there is about 500,000 of author notes in Synthesis 9 which are available and which contain source information. And so that's another giant step towards making information in the repertory more reliable. There is two reasons. And the first reason is when we integrate the information or someone else integrates the information and he includes the source information, like I make an addition from approving and I include the sentence, which is the basis of the addition, then I probably do a more careful job. You understand?
Sure.
Second, if I have done it, next to the addition, there is the full sentence of the Materia Medica. Next time, when you use that rubric, you click on the remedy, and you can read the full sentence, the full text of Materia Medica, and you can verify.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the transparency idea. We allow everybody to verify our work. Since edition 5, I have written in the first page of Synthesis that everybody is welcome to add to this project, to say whatever, and also I have explicitly added the word criticize. Everybody is welcome to criticize, because I believe criticism is not necessarily negative. It can just be like another stepping stone to move ahead with the quality of our data.
Sure.
So transparency is needed to allow people to criticize. So these are two very big ideas, but not the only ones.
No, you know, for me, one of the things that's very important about the views is...
Yes.
You know, the direction, of course, in the development of repertories today is just to keep adding more and more and more information. And if you don't have something like the views, what happens is that many of the rubrics become too large, too bloated, and then they no longer have the capacity for qualifying the case for you. So
yes,
I think this is also a very important aspect to this view feature.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I accept that.
Yeah, I know that you're coming out with a book that addresses this issue as well, and I was hoping that you could talk about it a little bit, the essential synthesis. Can you discuss that a little bit and what role that has to play?
Can I just say one other thing about this reliability issue? Because I would like at least to give you the main headlines there.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead then.
So just to summarize, we had the first ideas. Reliability within homeopathic literature is indicated by the degree system, works for Bernhardshausen, doesn't work in Skent anymore.
Mm.
That's the first thing. Then the second chapter is we have really started again from scratch with a thinking work, consultation work, and the first thing we saw is we need to be able to individualize.
Mm.
Repertory reviews is the consequence. The second thing we saw is we need to go back to the sources in a very transparent and direct way. So we added source information to the repertory. And like this, there is a number of other ideas which our dear friends have been giving, like, let's say, we want to know if the remedy is confirmed by approving in a case or just by approving. We want to know if it is coming from Kent or not, etc., etc. And... as a consequence, we said, okay, we must indicate reliability linked to each remedy. And this we have called the confidence level of remedy, CLR, the confidence level of a remedy. And I will not go into the detail of this, but there is a list and a whole mathematics where actually already since, which version is it? I think it's also since version 8, yes, it's 2001, that the confidence level is attributed to every single remedy in the synthesis repertory. And so then people, the program makes a calculation and gives a figure which is between 0 and 100, 100 being the highest. And then you can choose to see the remedy with a confidence level above a certain minimum. Like if it's above 66, you will see only the very reliable remedies in your rubrics and in your repertorization, for example. And if you go down until possibly confidence level 0 is the minimum, then you will see all the remedies, of course. Eh? But so this is another system which is present already in synthesis, and I think many people are not aware of this, that indicates reliable and more reliable remedies and even differentiates them. Now, this is an ongoing process, and I am sure there is so many reasons to say the degree system is bankrupt, you know. We lost it. We need to replace it with a much more creative and inventive system, but we need to indicate reliability. Look how this initial work of Bernninghausen is still working well. And you may wonder, as you just asked, is the essential synthesis now the reply to this whole quest? Well, the essential synthesis, first to explain, I think almost nobody knows because it's very brand new. We have been assembling that over the last 6 months, more or less, and it's being printed for the moment, being in the binding stage. This is a version of synthesis which contains only the essential information. And essential means, in the context of this discussion, I would say, it means the most reliable information. It means that information that has been confirmed by several authors. And it's one criteria. People say if the remedy is confirmed by different authors, it's more reliable. And we have left out of the essential synthesis that information which is still theoretical, or which is maybe an idea, like dream proving, meditation proving, it's an idea, it's a possibility, or it's because of some recent proving where there was no confirmation, no use yet, clinical use yet. So we left out all that, and so we have now a book, essential synthesis, mostly a book, which is offering you that information which is really the core of the practice. And so in a way, it fits into this idea of reliability. We're having, again, a repertory which is not offering you the whole, all possibilities, all levels of possible reliable and less reliable homeopathic information. This is now a book with the essential, the most reliable information.
And Frederick, that's going to be available towards the end of October?
Yes.
Yeah.
Say it again?
It's going to be available towards the end of October, is that correct?
Yeah, it's in the binding stage.
That's great.
I just had another phone call this week with the printer, and they're binding it already, so it's coming straight away.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Frederick, I see that we're running short on time. I want to give people an opportunity to ask some questions. I know that for most of the people on the call here, they're just happy that they have somebody like yourself, Frederick, who can be making sure that the repertory is reliable for them and they don't have to worry about these issues. So I'd like to thank you personally on behalf of everybody on the call, that there's somebody out there like you making sure that the information we use to help our patients is as accurate and reliable as possible. So thank you personally for that, Frederick.
That's true, yes.
So I just want to mention to everybody again that Dr. Shroyans will be coming to the United States to teach a weekend seminar, and he doesn't come very often. So if you have an opportunity to go and see Frederick live, I can guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. Frederick's seminars are full of very useful, very practical information, and the feedback from people is pretty much always the same, which is they're very, very thankful they had an opportunity to attend. I'm just going to read a couple of quotes from previous participants. I am moved by the refreshing, straightforward, and affectionate way in which you have taught us very valuable knowledge. I'd love to come back. After 3 years of school, your seminar was one of the best I've ever taken, and so on and so forth. So, again, it's on November 10th and 11th. You can contact the Homeopathic Academy of Southern California in Carlsbad, California. Their phone number is 760-494-0542. That's 760-494-0542. Or you can call their toll-free number at 877-800-4197. That's 877-800-4197. And there is a early bird special if you pay by October 25th. So I'm going to go ahead, Frederick, thank you again. I'm going to open up the lines, and we've still got 10 minutes. Maybe some people have some questions that they'd like to ask you directly. So hold on 1 second.
Yes, fine.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So do you have any questions for Dr. Shereens? You got about 8 or 9 minutes left.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I understand that a symptom can be added to the repertory from a clinically cured case.
Yes.
So I was wondering if you could talk about that. How would it be graded? How would you verify and so on?
Yeah, if it is from one case, it's for sure enters in degree one for the moment. This is the actual situation. You see?
Degree and how one. Does it get upgraded to a higher degree, Frederick?
Upgraded to a higher degree is by confirmations, either by approving or by other clinical cures.
I see. So, like,
and
so
in the new system, so you understand the grading system is like being replaced with a system where there is a reliability figure for each remedy. And in the new system, it would just mean that there is a calculation made, and you end up with some figure between 0 and 100.
So, Frederick, how does it work now? You have, when somebody sends in a cured case of, let's say, lycopodium and it has a certain symptom, do you keep a record of all of those symptoms? How does that actually work?
Yes, we ask the people who send in the cases to have the cases available forever.
I see. Okay. Great. Very interesting. Okay, let me open it up and see if somebody else has a question.
I do. How can we track down and actually read the proving of a particular symptom? Is it possible to find out who did the proving?
Yes. There are, the old provings, of course, they are available anywhere. But more recent provings, many of them we have included in Encyclopedia Homeopathica, which is the Materia Medica program. And some of those provings even never have been printed, so it will be your best resource to find back information, I guess.
And I think, Frederick, for some of the contemporary provings, does Jeremy Scherer have a website where he lists all the new provings?
Yes, actually, I have developed that website with Jeremy. It's provings.com, which has an index of mostly contemporary provings, with some files attached, and you can download a Word file or a list of repertory symptoms and photographs of some of the newly proven substances.
Hey.
Provings.com, plural.
Frederick, I have a question for you, which is I was at a conference being put on by Franz Vermeulen a couple of years ago, and he made a comment that really struck me. I was curious what your opinion was about this, and then just a more general question about the issue. What he basically said was that from his research that less than 30% of the proving information from the classical literature, I'm talking about the Polyquest remedies, but less than 30% had been clinically confirmed in practice. And that, I was very struck by that statement. I don't know if it's true or not, or if you've come across anything similar yourself. So that's the first part. And then the second part is I was curious because there are some people out there who believe that the proving information is the most important, and then there are some people out there who believe that the clinical information is the most important, and then there, of course, the third group who believe that the most useful information is the stuff that came out in approving and then was subsequently clinically confirmed. So if you could just address any of those points, that would be very interesting, I think.
Yes, yes. I'll address all of them.
Okay.
So, yes, if you take any proving and you really go to a case, you will not find a case that even close gets close to 30% of the symptoms. It will be much less. So you would need to collect even a number of cases, and you get an increasing number of symptoms from the proving which is being confirmed.
Right.
So I think this is a fact.
Yep.
There is just today I got the phone call from a lady from Spain, Ana Pla, you may know her, from Barcelona, and she says there is this proving of a Salix Fragilis, recent proving.
Sure, I'm familiar with it, yeah.
And she has two cases, and she wants to present it in next meeting. And so we were discussing, and I said, did you compare these symptoms of the cases with the proving and with each other? And she said, yes, but there's only very common symptoms, you know, the main symptoms, and there is some, but there's only very few, you know. And I said, well, that's then exactly the work I would like you to do, is to compare the clinical findings with the proving. Mm. And the result will obviously be that it is only a smaller part which has been confirmed by the clinical case.
Interesting.
You see?
Yep.
So it's just a reality. And then, so the second set of questions, it was about, what was it about again?
Yeah, but some people believe that the proving information is the most reliable.
Sure. Oh. In fact, the 75 leading homeopaths, some were saying, I believe the remedy is reliable when it has been appearing in the proving, full stop, you
right.
see? And so people say, no, I only believe that the remedy is reliable when it has been confirmed in a clinical case. You got like left and right wing, you see?
For sure.
And we just have those two opinions, at least those two opinions and many more even, in the homeopathic community. So for me, again, we must get away from the degree system. We must get to a much more smart and flexible system indicating reliability along all these different parameters. And second, with the possibility to adjust them to the thinking of a school or an individual. Mm. And because the left wing will say, no, only proving symptoms are reliable. And right wing will say, no, only clinical symptoms are reliable.
Sure.
So we have different opinions about reliability. We cannot cram all these parameters and variables into just three or four figures. It's impossible.
Sure.
If we want to be precise, and you know, it's been one of my main goals is to be precise and precise and more precise and more precise, we must get into a new system of reliability. And at that time, we will be able to use again all the information, not just the Bönninghaus and Taschenbuch with 2,000 symptoms and 140 remedies. We will be able to use the 200,000 symptoms and the 2,000 remedies with reliability. And this is the goal. This is the goal of the whole procedure.
That's great. Well, Frederick, I see we only have a couple of minutes left. I'll see if a person has one more question they can ask. We have, one final question. Does anybody have a question they'd like to ask Dr. Shmoyans?
I would just like to have his email address or a way to contact Dr. Shmoyans.
Yes, you send it to synthesis at archibel.com.
So that's synthesis at archibel, archibel.com. Did you get that?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
There is one more thing I would like to say, Kim.
Sure, Frederick, go ahead.
So this whole idea of reliability, it is very current thinking, you know. It's some people believe of their colleagues and certain teachers, they are reliable, they are not reliable, they are fantasizing, etc. This is all about reliability, you see.
Okay.
And the other way, the other word, in fact, for reliability is like evidence-based. Eh? Evidence-based
sure.
is, you know, in regular medicine,
that's
like
the direction
a totem.
Medicine, yeah.
And I would like to say to all the people who listen to this conference now and later, is that the next Liga Congress, so the World Liga, which was founded by Pierre Schmidt, is taking place in Ostend, Belgium, from May 20 to 25, and it has as a title evidence-based homeopathy. And all the issues that I've been bringing up, like how do we get to reliable prescriptions and getting to reliable repertories and reliable materia medica and understanding what is less and more reliable, etc., this is really the core issue of this conference, and I think it will be very interesting to attend it. Now, if you would like to attend it, I will like to give you the website where you can find all the information. It's www.LMHI2008.org.
Okay, great, Frederick. Thank you. All right, well, I see that we're out of time. Frederick, I want to thank you again. It was a very, very informative call. I learned a lot of very interesting information, so I want to personally thank you. And for everyone who's on the call, can we give Frederick, Dr. Shorins, a big thank you?
Thank you.
Thank you, Frederick.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hope I see some of you sometime.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.